Welcome back to episode 216 of Your Best Year Starts Here with me, Neil Martin, and my good friend, Mr. Nigel Risner. And those of you that were paying attention will know that last week, Nigel failed. And what do I mean by that? Well, the week before, okay, episode 214, that we talked about scrambled eggs and life's missions, Nigel said there were three things and we'd cover the other two next week. And at the end of it, I said, bet you don't remember. And he said, I bet I do. And last week, last week, he didn't remember. But guess what? Since then, the light bulb's gone on and he does remember. So, Nigel, we talked about the first of the three things. And if anyone doesn't know what the first one is, they'll have to go back and listen to it, unless you're going to tell us now. But what were two and three?
So you need to have a sense of purpose. That's the first
one. That was the first one. There you go.
Yep. You need a capacity for growth.
Yep. Which we sort of talked about last week.
Yep. But you need a spirit of adventure. And that's the key bit for me, is that we're in a wonderful time in our lives. You know, I'm 61, 62 this year. I've got lots of things going on, but I want to have more fun and have more adventures, not just doing what I'm always doing. And when you know that an adventure can be going on a new bike, or it could be going on holiday, or it could be doing a new program, and I've got a newer personality assessment tool, and I'm doing more modules with my team that do all of the other stuff that nobody really sees, and it's an adventure that we're going to have a module online learning course. I don't even understand how it all works, but there's videos and there's avatars and there's all this brilliant stuff, but it's an adventure of new learning. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk about a capacity for growth, that sometimes you get so hung up on the way you're always doing stuff and you've just got your systems right. And then there's a curveball being thrown.
Yep.
And whether it's a change of government or whether there's a war going on, you know, I was in Israel October the 7th. I've got friends. I've not been in Ukraine for the last 2 years. There's lots of challenges that we're facing.
Yep.
And we have to understand that growth is occurring all the time and changes are going all the time. But our job is to have what I call a spirit of adventure that allows us to understand it's okay to just let go and rip and sometimes come off that track and do something a little bit weird.
Yep.
About 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, you're going to find this hard to believe, but I went on, I was going to say safari, not quite the right. I went in the Masai Mara for 7 days to look at the animals, to do some more work. And one of the days, I was 13 hours in a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the room for 12 hours of it, because I had to pee a few times. At my age, you have to get out, as they call it. In Kenya, they call it checking the tyres.
Okay.
Does anyone need to check the tyres? But first couple of times, I had no idea what they were talking about. I'm thinking, seems okay to me. I realised the internal message there. But I've now made a decision that I'm prepared to work really hard, but I want to have some fun along the way.
Yep.
And I think what I've been missing is some adventures, some fun, some weird stuff that take me out of my comfort zone. And even though you and I both teach coming out of our comfort zones and doing things that make us uncomfortable, sometimes it's okay to go a little bit crazy and have some adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just now trying to book to go to Botswana for next January.
Nice.
And to do some really weird stuff.
Nice.
And, you know, whether it's hot air ballooning or whether it's paragliding and some really weird stuff. I don't want to wait till I'm 80 when I can do this stuff, but then I haven't got the health to do it.
Yep.
And too many people keep saying, when I retire, when I've got this, you know, it's a bit like that be, do, have chart. You know, I'll have more fun when I can do that, and then I'll be happy.
Yep.
Well, I want to be more adventurous so I can do more stuff and have better relationships.
Yep.
And so for me, when I really look at the word adventure, and I don't know where the word comes from, I'm sure there'll be a Latin or a Greek word where it comes from, but I want to be in control of not being in control and sometimes just saying, let's go where we go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think too many of us have decided, well, we're going to work really hard, so we've got this big pension pot. And don't get me wrong, I think it's great to have a big pension pot, providing we're healthy enough to be able to enjoy it.
Yep. 100%. I think one of the interesting things for me, actually, I've had a few conversations with clients recently talking about kind of longer term visions and longer term plannings around their businesses and their lives, etc. And I've had the odd person that's gone, I want a detailed plan for the next 5 years. And my view is always, you can't do that. You can have a clear idea of where you want to reach as a destination. But in terms of the detailed plan, don't try and do more than about 3 months. Because
if you're an elephant going back to the animals, they can only work with a detailed, structured timesheet.
I get that. But here's the thing. And this is the question I've asked a bunch of people recently. This time 5 years ago, could you have predicted the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yep, 100%.
And the answer from everybody is no. By the end of 2019, did we start to see something coming? Yes. But it was 2020 before we really saw it. You know, and 5 years ago from now is fairly, you know, early to middle of the year in 2019. None of us saw it on our radar. So to go, I've got a detailed, this is exactly what I plan to do week by week for the next 5 years. You don't know what curveballs are coming. But hey, I want to do a journey and I'm starting in Brighton and I'm ending in Edinburgh, just as an example. You know I'm in Brighton and I want to get to Edinburgh. I know a rough time scale that I want to get there, and I don't really care what the vehicle is that gets me there. I don't really care what the route is. I just know roughly where I want to be at roughly what time, and that's good enough. And I know what you're going to say, Nigel. Like, tell that to certain people and certain animal types, and they're going to go, no, that's not good enough. You know, it's good enough for you, Neil, because you're a monkey, and because when you're a monkey, you don't care about those details. I understand that, and I understand planning some of the detail, but you can only plan so much. And part of the bit you can't plan, and this ties back to what you were saying a minute ago, part of the bit you can't plan, that's kind of the adventure. You know, there's an aspect to things I can control, right? And there's an aspect to things where I can go, well, what's the risk around that? How do I minimize that risk? How do I make it so that, you know, I'm going out of my comfort zone, but I'm not going into my danger zone? Because danger and comfort are not actually the opposites. Uncomfortable isn't danger, right? So I'm coming out of my comfort zone, but I'm not putting myself somewhere where I'll be at risk. There's a balance in the middle. Yeah, and again, actually, big thing for me around comfort zone. Do you know what the comfort zone really is in my world and the way I quite often describe it to people?
Go for it.
It's the zone where you've got problems you don't know about yet.
Yeah.
They're there already. You just haven't seen them. That's it.
Or you don't want to see them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're denying they exist, right? You know, but the things that are going to make you uncomfortable are there already. They're just not on your radar yet. And when you push beyond that, you end up into, you know, fear, typically. And fear is, I know about this thing, I don't know what to do about it, and I don't like it. And because I know about it, and I don't know what to do about it, and I don't like it, potentially all I want to do is run back into my comfort zone, and I can pretend it's not there again. I can ignore it for a bit, and I can be comfortable for a bit, until that gets so bad that I think, actually, I need to go the other way, which goes back to what we talked about last week, which is, I now need to learn how to deal with it. And when I learn how to deal with it, what happens next? I'm back in my comfort zone, but my comfort zone's bigger. And that's it. That's that cycle, really, you know? And I don't know where I learned the various bits of that, and I don't know how I connected those various dots over the years. It's lots of different things from lots of different people. I haven't made this stuff up. You know, there's a million mentors before me who've talked about the same thing, right? Maybe not in exactly the same way. But the reality with all of this is, you know, life is you said it a minute ago, you know, life is changing all of the time. The things around us are changing all of the time. The real question is, what are we doing with it? What are we doing about it? What are we paying attention to? What are we seeing? What are we ignoring? You know, and if it's a problem or a challenge that's coming up, are we seeing it at the point where it's there and it's small and it's just like nudging us a little bit, just like, you know, a little shove, a little dig in the ribs? Or we wait until it's thrown a punch in our face and knocking us out?
Well, that goes back to, we already know there's a slight problem because we inherently feel it in our gut.
Yep.
And we've spoken about that all before. And that intuition of inward learning, we are inherently knowing there's an issue, but we push it aside because it seems okay.
Yep.
And when you've got a capacity for growth, you actually understand that if we want to grow and we need to learn and we need to get outside our comfort zones, But going back to something that we said before, when you have a sense of purpose, you just look at your radar and go, is this leading me to where I want to get to? Mm-hmm. And if it is, do it. And if it's not, don't. Is it going to make me grow? If it is, let me do it. And are we going to have some fun along the way? And if we are, what's the worst that could happen? And occasionally it turns out not to be fun. And now, you know, I'm not doing that again. Mm-hmm. My wife hates roller coasters because she's got an issue with her middle ear. So she get, you know, she gets a bit out of balance. But occasionally I'll say, let's have a go. And say, you may like it. And stupidly sometimes she goes, okay, I'll have a go.
And she still doesn't, right?
Yeah, because it doesn't service her. But she's forgotten how bad it is for her. Yeah. And I kind of go, I thought you might like it. But genuinely, our job is to learn from past mistakes.
Yep.
And when people say, well, it's not a mistake, it's just a learning experience. And sometimes we mess up and it is a mistake. But if you want to call it a learning, whatever the word is, you can. But sometimes we do mess up.
Yep.
And when you mess up, you have to admit it, fix it, move on, and recognize that didn't serve my purpose. It didn't grow me. And it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
And if you were to look at your diary for the last 28 days, and then you look at your diary for the next 28 days and go, how much time was I on purpose? How much time was it a growth experience? And how much fun was it? When your life is working, get ready for this number here, Neil. You're going to be about 80% of the time doing that stuff.
Yep.
And when your life's not working, you'll be about 20%.
Yep.
And we know about Pareto's law of 80-20. And the reason I say about 80-20 is that you and I still have to take the rubbish out, and we still have to empty the dishwasher, and we still have to do some of those shitty jobs. And normally it's called chauffeuring, you know, those type of things.
When you got teenagers, it's chef, chauffeur, and banker.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, but you see, that's in your 20%. Mm-hmm. You can't just be having this idyllic lifestyle, and nothing's going to get in the way of those three key things. So I say to all my coaching clients, look at your last month, look at your timing. Were you spending 80% of your time doing the stuff you love? And if you are, give me a marks out of 10. And most people go, it's an 8 or a 9.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not happening that way, and we're not on purpose, and we're not having an adventure, and we're not growing physically, mentally, spiritually with our partners, that's when life doesn't work. And all I want all of our listeners to do is to look at their diaries for the last month and look at their diaries planned for the next month and just play the game. How much time am I spending on my purpose, on my mission, on my vision?
Mm-hmm.
How much time have I allocated for fun? I'm hoping, you know, some people may have seen, I had an iron infusion. I've got another one next week. And then I'm hoping to go play paddle or pickleball or paddleball, whatever it's called. You know, because it means it can be indoor and I can play with a couple of people and it'll be fun. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be something new for me because in theory, you know, I was a pro tennis player, so I can hit a ball. I've got a good eyeball, but I've never done it. But it's going to be something new. I've got a personal trainer who's coming. I hate him every second of it, but apparently it's going to be good for me. Who knows? But the concept is I know where my life's working and I 100% know where my life's not working. So if everyone who's listening, maybe send to Neil your diary and are you 80% on target or are you 20% on target? Because that will give you a clear indication if your life's working or not.
Well, I'm going to throw one other thing in there. You mentioned the whole, like, be, do, have thing, right? Just drop the word do out the middle and glue the other two together.
Have be.
Other way around. Behave.
Behave.
Behave. It's
very clever.
Right? Because the reality is, what do you want to have? How do you need to behave to get it? And back to your thing of, you know, am I on purpose? Am I on mission? Am I aligned with the values I stand for? How do they really come out in my behavior? Right? It's not what I intend to do or what I'm thinking about doing. It's what am I actually doing? And if I want my life to work, I need to think about the things I do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a regular basis. Are those things contributing to the way I want my life to be or not? If I'm not getting the result I want, I need to change the things I'm doing. I know it sounds overly simplistic, but it's true. You know, it's that Einstein thing, right? Keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result is insanity. So don't do that. Go, well, this ain't working. What can I try instead? Oh, that doesn't work either. What can I try instead? Oh, and I don't mean changing mind every 2 minutes. Yeah, you've got to have a bit of discipline with this. You've got to give it a little bit of time. But you put the right discipline in for, I don't know, 30 days, 60 days. It stops being a discipline. It becomes a habit. I was having a conversation with someone earlier today, actually, where we were talking about like common disciplines for making your life better, raising your standards, this kind of thing. It was from a document that someone had read. And we both sat down and said, I do most of those things, but I wouldn't call them a discipline. And it's because we've been doing them long enough that they're just like habitual. They're just normal. And but the first when we first started doing some of those things, consciously or otherwise, were they habitual and normal? No. They took effort. They took work. But after a while, they start to be fun. They start to be enjoyable. They start to be something where we go, I know the benefit of this, and now I'm going to enjoy doing it. And very often the things that give us the biggest benefits we'll hate doing in the beginning, like that personal trainer you just mentioned. But if you keep working with that personal trainer long enough, Nigel, you're going to see the impact it has on you. You're going to go, I love this.
Okay, just for the record, it's never going to happen. I will leave this week on the basis that at some point it will be a little bit more enjoyable.
Okay, yeah, but it's going to suck less then. That'll do, yeah?
Yeah. Well, and that's what I tell my clients. I can make you 5% less shit. That's all I can do in life. And I'll see you next week, my friend.
See you soon.